This is a recording of a basic strategic dialogue held on Friday, the 26th of July, 2013, at the Capitol Hill Club. The speakers were François Rivesseau, currently Minister Plenipotentiary and Deputy Head of the EU Delegation to the US, and Dr. Oliver Meyer, who is an associate in the International Security Division at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin. These affiliations are provided for informational purposes only. Both speakers were presenting in their personal capacities.
On nuclear deterrence, seen from a European perspective, you know, we have three angles. On the first one, and I shall refer to our discussion in the Advisory Board of Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, to which I participate, is nuclear weapons are less popular because they are too expensive, but nuclear deterrence has a growing appeal to many, a sort of contradiction, which is obvious only for people who don't reflect about it. But in Europe, still, the trend towards disarmament is strong. The road to be taken, and that as a European diplomat I repeat every day on behalf of the European Union, is that we should continue on the road given to us by NPT, which is that now we should complete the CTBT ratification, and I don't need to insist about the problem that it can cause here. And we are very admirative of the efforts of Rose Gottmüller to continue working on this in this direction, going to FMCT and then entering into reductions and trying to strengthen NSC. This is and strengthening nuclear weapon free zones. You know that the European Union is trying to promote the meeting of a conference about the nuclear weapon free zone in the Middle East. We have a European mediator who is respected by everybody. He's a Finn. But till now, our efforts have not been completely successful. Let's see if discussions, if they are occurring here, thanks to Secretary Kerry's efforts, are improving the environment and the mutual trust between Arabs and Israelis, because otherwise I think we shall remain stalled, as we have been since a number of years. So that's for the global picture seen from Europe. Now, when you turn your eyes to the developments inside Europe, the situation seems also to be not moving very much. On one hand, we have the discussions, the strategic discussion within NATO, which certainly will produce slight evolution of language, as always. I've been for 4 years head of a NATO desk, so I know that language will change. But will the reality change behind the language? This remains to be seen. We have a Europe which is as divided as ever, but the lines are slowly changing. Western Europe, France and Germany in particular, are very attached to the idea that despite the internal evolutions within Russia, globally Russia should be part of the security architecture of Europe and should play a positive role in it. But this is not a view which is generally shared within Europe, in particular in the Baltic states or in other Eastern European states such as Hungary or Czech Republic or others. the idea that Russia can be put constructively in the architecture of Europe is an idea which is seen still with some questioning and even sometimes some distance, not to say reservations. Interestingly, the question is also seen in the nuclear field as not very likely to move quickly, because Russian diplomats tell us repeatedly that, I quote them, times of naivety is over, we are not going to give up anything more now. They are ready to engage, to discuss sometime, but they are not ready to give in. They are not ready to make concessions, and for reasons that we can understand, because they probably need their nuclear weapons politically to keep their state together, and they possibly think that militarily they may face challenges, not necessarily only from China, but also maybe from the south, and particularly, you know, the arsenal of Pakistan growing, and Iran has no nuclear weapon. But between you and me, we know that sometimes you don't need necessarily to have a nuclear weapon build-up to begin to be looked at possibly in the future playing a role from a deterrence point of view. Because after all, if you have a capability of building the weapon in a certain time frame, you may be seen as playing a sort of a deterrence role. And this, we can think about Iran, but this is true also of some allies like Japan or South Korea in particular. Even Germany could be seen in this light from a purely technical point of view, and obviously nothing political. So, you know, deterrence is a much more broader problematic than a nuclear weapon in itself. Now, if I turn to the core of the problems, which is what future for the nuclear weapons from NATO within which are stationed prepositions in Europe, I think everybody recognizes that their role is mostly political. You describe it as asked by Europeans. It's a bit of simplification, another simplification. They are asked by some Europeans, by a number of Europeans, and it's also, I think, a view of the US that there is a political interest in having them in Europe. Because basically those who are interested are countries to the east of Europe, because these countries are extremely attached to the guarantee of Article 5 of the NATO Treaty, and they consider that these stationed weapons are a sort of proof that Article 5, physical proof of the existence of Article 5, you know. And they are not caring so much about their military value. That's why I said they are mostly political weapons. They are caring about the fact that they embody, in a way, the commitment of Article 5 in the same way than the presence of U.S. military troops in Europe embodies it also. And these are the two main dimensions of Article 5 for them and for their security. They consider that this is a requirement. They keep very much in mind for the events of 2008 in Georgia. They look at the internal evolution of the situation in Russia, and they still are not completely convinced that they live in that this mutual defense disposition should be relaxed. All the contrary. If you turn now to the southeastern part of our alliance and to Turkey, the problematic is also extremely political. And Turkey is a very complex equation with a very complex political forces at work and very rapidly changing. But if there is something which doesn't change and which is reassuring for all the Europeans and maybe also for the US, it's the fact that when it comes to mutual defense within NATO, Turkey is still a solid and very trustable ally. But this is also, in the view of Europeans, linked to the political role of US deployed nuclear weapons. So this is the situation. And obviously, when it comes to France and Germany, I will not talk for Germany, but France, if you look at the White Book, you will see that France, on one hand, is very ready to engage within NATO in discussions, but when it comes to its own strategic tools and its own deterrence, the decision has been made not to touch anything and to keep things exactly as they are, not spending more, not trying to keep the level of expenses, to maintain the tools and the reservations of Paris to engaging in multilateral reductions or whatever, are exactly the same as they were before. On that field, nothing changed. So if something will change, it will be a change impulse from outside, but probably not a change impulse from within. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Thanks, first of all, to Rebecca for bringing me over and organizing this event. It's surprising to see so many people here. If you would try to organize a meeting in Berlin on this issue at 8 o'clock in the morning, I don't think you would get this kind of crowd. So that is really good. So thanks for coming that early in the day. I'm glad to see that François covered many of the more general issues related to the situation in Europe, because Rebecca asked me specifically to talk about the discussion in Germany, and I will try to focus on that and say briefly a couple of words on the current thinking in Germany on nuclear burden sharing, and talk about possible changes of German attitudes. And let me do that maybe in three steps, talk about general German attitudes on nuclear weapons, describe, secondly, the position of the current government, and then talk about briefly the possible impact of elections, which are pretty much exactly 2 months away from today. We recently had President Obama visit in Berlin, I think it's fair to say that his speech, his Brandenburg Gate speech, was very well received, including the nuclear sections of that speech were very much appreciated, because he confirmed that the U.S. stays committed to nuclear disarmament, and also wants to do that in a way that engages and includes Russia. Generally, I think it's important to keep in mind that the German position or perspective on nuclear burden sharing has been, is, and will continue to be influenced by the strong anti-nuclear feelings in the population and in politics more generally. The fact that we have still about 20 U.S. nuclear weapons deployed in Germany is actually no longer widely known, but if you have polls on these issues over the years, they consistently show that about two-thirds of the population are in favor of withdrawal, and this is reflected of positions by positions of parties in parliament, where there is unanimous support for withdrawal of these weapons, even though there are differences with regard to the conditions that are attached to withdrawal, and I will come back to that. I say that because sometimes I hear the view that the initiative of the current government, which is in the government's program that was adopted in 2009 to advocate withdrawal of these weapons from Germany and from Europe, was based partly on kind of Foreign Minister Westerwelle's personal preferences. I don't think that's the case. I think there's a broader support and very broad support for a reform of Germany's involvement in nuclear sharing and of nuclear sharing more generally. The implication, the implementation of this initiative, however, to advocate withdrawal showed that there are divisions within the executive and also within the, if you like, foreign policy elite about how to pursue withdrawal. In a nutshell, there were many that believed that this was an issue that is not so urgent, that it has the potential to upset Germany's relations with the United States and also with its neighbors to the east, particularly Poland. And those skeptics, I think, can be found mostly in the Ministry of Defense and among those who work within NATO and the transatlantic factions of the parties. It has also been pointed out that relatively little thinking has gone into alternative views on how to assure NATO new members. Germany only has only reluctantly supported NATO missile defense plans. And to this day, I think we've not had a good debate about the political and financial implications of that project. There have been some efforts to support additional assurances to NATO new members, for example, through the development of conventional contingency plans. And we have a big exercise coming up in September, Steadfast Jazz, the first exercise of this size on the territory of a new NATO member states. But those efforts, I think, came too late to change attitudes in those countries on nuclear issues. Nevertheless, the initiative to advocate withdrawal did result in an unprecedented debate about nuclear sharing arrangements more generally within NATO and within key countries also, particularly some of the host nations. What Germany failed to achieve, and François has hinted to that, were substantive changes in the parameters of NATO's nuclear sharing arrangements. NATO remains committed to the forward basing of nuclear weapons and to current nuclear sharing practices. The alliance was also unable to change its declaratory policy and to bring it in line with current U.S. declaratory policy, for example, though some cosmetic changes were made. These discussions continue, of course, in the context particularly of the new Arms Control Committee. Against this background, the position of the current government is that it, of course, supports the agreements that were reached at the Lisbon and Chicago summits and the new strategic concept and the deterrence and defense posture review, but that it also continues to support withdrawal of U.S. nuclear weapons deployed in Europe. But that this can be only achieved first on the basis of a NATO consensus, and secondly through a process of arms control engagement with Russia. That being said, the German government has consistently argued that tactical nuclear weapons are relics of the Cold War and that they no longer fulfill any military role. Now, the effort of German politics has shifted somewhat to the arms control side of things, and Germany is arguing that the arms control functions of NATO have to be strengthened, particularly through the creation of a new arms control committee, which has been set up and has started working, which goes by the catchy name of the Special Advisory and Consultative Arms Control, Disarmament and Non-Proliferation Committee. And I think the length of that name is an indication of the difficulties of agreeing on the mandate of that committee. But this is the committee where Germany would like to take discussions on how to implement a reform of NATO's nuclear posture, where these discussions should take place. And even though, as I said, Obama's speech in Berlin was welcomed, it was also noted that the focus of his remarks was on strategic reductions, and that the president did not really spell out how he wanted to achieve the, quote, bold reductions in U.S. and Russian tactical nuclear weapons that he advocated in Berlin. Let me briefly talk about the hardware side of things. Rebecca already mentioned the question of the DCA, the dual-capable aircraft, and the B-61 life extension program, which is also, I hear, has been the issue of some discussion here in Washington. Here, of course, Germany is in a unique position because it is the only nuclear host nation that has clearly stated that it does not want to buy the Joint Strike Fighter, which is going to replace dual-capable aircraft in other host nations. The Tornado, when the Tornado is retired, Germany's active role in nuclear sharing is therefore likely to end because the successor plane, the Eurofighter, will not be nuclear capable. So how long will the Tornado be flying? This is somewhat of a moving target. Until recently, the answer was at least until 2020. During the last couple of months, that date has shifted to 2025, and in replies to parliamentary questions last month, the government stated that it currently does not have plans to keep the Tornado operational beyond 2030. So sometime between 2025 and 2030, if there are no further efforts made to keep the plane in the air, the plane is going to be retired. The story is a bit more complicated on the B-61-12. Here the official position of the government is that this program is a purely national decision by the United States that has no implications for NATO nuclear sharing. When asked about the additional military capabilities that the new weapon will have, the government maintains that the United States, in the nuclear posture review, has stated that it will not seek new types of nuclear weapons and no new capabilities. For this, the government has come under attack from the opposition, which points out that the weapon will, in fact, have greater accuracy than the weapons currently deployed in Europe. They also point out an inconsistency, if you like, in the German government's position, because Germany has always maintained that one key reason for being involved in nuclear sharing is that it has a say on nuclear posture within NATO. Now, this is a major change in NATO's nuclear posture, and the government is saying this is a purely U.S. national decision. It's also pointed out, the government repeatedly, that NATO consensus on all these issues is very important in moving forward. And again, here's a case where this updating of the nuclear posture is taking place not as a result of consultations in NATO, but as the outcome of a decision here in Washington. So there's some inconsistency the opposition is pointing out. There is also the problem of whether the Tornado will be able to carry the B-61-12 and the question of the compatibility of these weapons. Apparently, this relates particularly to the electronics of the two systems. Here, the government expects that the United States will deliver a B-61-12 that is compatible with the Tornado, even though it does not exclude the possibility of adapting the plane also to some degree to the weapon. So, but the onus is on getting a weapon delivered to the to Europe that will be that will fit under the Tornado. Very briefly, and I can be brief here because there's no major changes to be expected as the outcome of the elections, which are coming up September 22nd. According to current polls, Merkel is likely to stay chancellor, even as either as head of the current coalition with the Liberals or as head of a, what we call a grand coalition with the Social Democrats. If you look at the party programs and what they say about NATO, burden sharing and nuclear weapons, you can conclude that little will change. There are many commonalities but few differences. Here, all the parties are in favor of nuclear reductions as part of arms control and do support a world free of nuclear weapons. The conditions for withdrawal differ. It's interesting that the Conservative Party of Chancellor Merkel avoids the topic altogether of under which conditions the weapons should be withdrawn. The Social Democrats are in favor of a pan-European agreement on nuclear arms control, whatever that may mean. The Green Parties and the Liberal Party state quite strongly that they're in favor of withdrawal, but also do not spell out the conditions attached to such a step. None of the parties specifically mentions the problem of maintaining dual-capable aircraft and the deployment of the B-61-12, which I think is interesting because some of these programs are very long, sometimes over 100 pages. But all in all, this issue gets very little attention. So to conclude, let me say that I think that Germany's involvement in nuclear sharing remains one of these problems that decision makers might file under the heading important but not urgent. And that's a very difficult category if you want to address these types of problems. No immediate action is likely to be required because of the timelines involved here before either the B-61-12 gets delivered to Europe or the Tornado will end its service life. That being said, Germany has invested a lot of political energy within NATO on this issue, particularly on the arms control side of things, and it is going to continue to remain committed to withdrawal, but it will want to work through NATO institutions, and it will particularly try to draw Russia into such a process. And I say that because, to conclude, I would like to make the case of continuing to try to engage Russia on this issue, because from a German perspective, if the arms control track fails or is abandoned by the United States, that would put the German government in a very difficult position, because that's basically where it's placing all its money on, that a reform of NATO's nuclear sharing can be achieved with Russia through arms control. And if that track fails or is abandoned, the German government would have a hard time basically arguing why it is continuing to support nuclear sharing arrangements. Thank you very much.